Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, man. Hey, with the local DVD news, Ella Cool J with a triumphant comeback. More unfolding. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a live edition of Way In Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Carvin, joined with Trey Patterson tonight. A lot going on in the sports world since we met Sunday, Trey.
Oh, yeah, a lot going on, Carvin, a lot going on. It's and with the MLB trade deadline and everything and a lot of football news, we got some stuff to cover.
We got a lot to cover, and I want to mention Chris Smith. He owns his own recruiting firm, but you can go to southernprepstars.com to read about him. He's going to join us in half an hour to discuss how the recruiting process works, how he grades athletes, how the coaches go about the recruiting process, and hopefully give us a little dirt on all of this, Trey. So I'm looking forward to having him on. And
yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say.
Oh, exactly. I'm excited. Anytime you can get inside knowledge like this, it excites me, and I hope all the listeners are out there excited tonight like we are. But the call-in number to start with, 646-716-5564. And, Trey, do you have the chat room up and running?
Yeah, chat room is good to go. I got the Twitter account rocking and rolling, Tarvin. We got Facebook up. So it's at Way In Sports all together. As the Twitter, and then on Facebook, Way In Sports as well. You can get to us through the chat room, so and should be able to get to us anyway, Tarvin.
Yep. Please call in and or get in the chat room. Do we have anybody in there right now?
Not right now. I just pulled it up, so it takes a little time for people to get on here. So.
Oh, it does. But hey, man, in baseball, how about the Angels, man? They're all of a sudden, Pujols has 21 home runs, Trey, and they're almost to catch Texas right now. Up 6-0 right now on Texas.
Yeah, and that'll be a sweep, Tarvin. They are dominating right now, and they're so hot, and it's going to be a real problem for Texas right now with losing these head-to-head games on the Angels, because the Angels just gained 3 games on right in a row. So, and these are the games that matter in a division race when you're facing head-to-head. And right now, there's no real fight in Texas. They look like they're kind of laying down on this series. We'll see how kind of problem that is down the stretch, Tarvin.
Well, I mean, look at the confidence. If you're the Angels, look at what you got. You got a young team that you have. Your players are killing the ball. You have Albert Pujols, which we all had him dead a couple of months ago, didn't we? Now all of a sudden he's hit 21 home runs. The pitching is going to start back. I mean, all of a sudden, if you're the Angels, you feel pretty good about yourself and beating Texas, actually.
Yeah, and Tarvin, I know that you want to go off the call-in number one more time, but I just want to tell you this about Texas. In July, they were dead last in Major League Baseball in runs. They only scored 81 runs for the whole month. And they had their staff ERA was ranked 19th for the month, and now they're starting off on August 1st. They're down, I think, 6-0 right now. So for Texas, you got to question it. It's not just the pitching right now, it's the hitting. And, we'll talk about, how big of winners the Angels were in the deadline trades, and I'm not sure Ryan Dempster is enough for them to put that whole team together.
Yeah, and I'm going to give the call-in number 646-716-5564. Please call in and join us. But if I'm a Texas fan, Trey, and honestly, and I know they're still in the lead, I'm starting to hit the panic button almost. My finger's reaching up to that button, and I'm thinking about pushing it, because how in the world are they going to stop Anaheim or the Los Angeles, whatever they are now? But
yeah.
Pujols is he's untouchable, man. I mean, this guy's going to hit everything that's thrown at him right now, and your big score in the trade deadline was Ryan Dempster. Come on now. What do you think about Dempster? And tell us about some of these other trades that have been happening at the deadline since it's over with now.
Yeah, I mean, now that, before the last Sunday, you asked me who I thought the big winners were, and I told you I thought it was the Dodgers and the Angels in respective leagues. And Tarvin, with the moves that happened, during the trade deadline. I'm not wavering on that one bit. In fact, it got even stronger. Of course, the Rangers picked up Dempster. They didn't give up their two major prospects in their farm system, so that's really good for the Rangers not to have done that for Ryan Dempster. But now you have the Angels with Zach Greinke, and they're talking about even signing him to a long-term deal. And, you know, that's even possible because they have Dan Heron and Ervin Santana, whose contracts they can get rid of at the end of the season. So, you know, they're talking about Jared Weaver, Wilson, and Greinke as 1, 2, 3. And Tarvin, there's an argument. Obviously, we know Weaver's the number one. Greinke has won a Cy Young, and Wilson's not too shabby either. So, and then their bats, Tarvin, are just incredible. I mean, you have Pujols, of course. But Mike Trout has been, I was a disbeliever, Tarvin, and I've been watching some of the games. I have the MLB Direct TV package, and this kid is legit. I mean, they're hyping him all over the place, and I thought, well, you know, this is just another rookie. You saw Bryce Harper kind of peak off. You know, he's hitting around 260, 270. So, I mean, you know, Bryce Harper, for all his phenom status, he's still just a rookie. Well, Mike Trout hasn't really dropped off, Tarvin, and that's a big deal because you just can't pitch around Pujols because you have Trout and Mark Trumbo who can, you know, hit a 450-foot bomb at any point. So the Angels lineup is really, really, really talented, and those pitchers are going to basically, keep the scores down for the Rangers as this three-game series we've seen with the Rangers has been. The Rangers have had, problems struggling, scoring runs, and then Josh Hamilton's struggles kind of continue. So the Rangers are in trouble, Tarvin.
Yeah, that's so important. Who bats before Pujols and after Pujols? It determines how they go. And right now, all three are hitting. So, honestly, man, I'm not an Angels fan, but I just don't see anyone for the remainder of the season in the playoffs being able to beat these guys, especially when the playoffs come, say, a seven-game series. I just don't see how you beat them, man.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough, Tarvin. And sort of with that, you asked me who the winners and the losers are. The other winner is going to be clear. It's the Dodgers. I mean, they picked up – they got bullpen help out of Brandon League, which was they got him. They got – of course, we know the move they made with the Marlins when they got Hanley Ramirez. And then they went out and picked up Shane Victorino, who I thought was a really strong pickup for them because Victorino is a fire plug. He's a guy who doubles, triples, singles, homers. He plays a good outfield. He's got a he basically has a spark. And now with him in the leadoff position for the Dodgers and you have Hanley Ramirez fourth, and, of course, Matt Kemp's been crushing the ball, that gives them a new depth to their lineup that they didn't have before. So for me, when you have the Giants who already weren't really a team who had a huge offense that you had to worry about, now you have the Giants, and they go out and pick up Hunter Pence, which was sort of like their you can pick up Victorino, we'll pick up Pence. Well, that's a great move for the Giants, but the Dodgers still, to me, Tarvin, are the ultimate winners in the National League. I think to me, Tarvin, the two losers I had, the Phillies, I'm not exactly sure what their whole they're doing with their sort of team. They go out and they sign Cole Hamels to a huge deal. And then kind of like the Marlins, they start dumping players immediately after. The Marlins traded for Carlos Lee and then, dumped afterwards. And the Phillies, by getting rid of Victorino and Pence, I'm not really sure exactly what they plan on their lineup being for the future. I know they have Utley and Howard locked up, but, they're both growing in age and sort of injury prone. So the Phillies, to me, a little bit of a loser here. And then in the American League, Tarvin, I'm not really sure why the Red Sox, a lot of people are not listing them as winners or losers. I list them as a loser, and the real big reason is, Tarvin, I'm not sure what it is they want to do. I think they still think that they're going to possibly make the postseason. If they did that, they really didn't go out and pick up anybody other than Craig Breslow from the Diamondbacks. They didn't add any pieces they would need to contend this year, at least from what I'm seeing. They're so dysfunctional a team right now. And why they didn't go out and dump some of their big salaries so they can start towards next year, I think that's going to hurt them. I don't think they're going to make the postseason this year, and I think they're going to be hurt next year going on that.
And, Trey, and I don't mean to interrupt you. We have Quinn on the line, and he wants to talk about the Chicago White Sox. That's his team, and he wants to mention something to us real quick. Hey, Quinn, what's going on, bud?
Hey, a lot of people have been really underestimating my White Sox throughout the whole year. and people are saying, oh, it's the Detroit's division. Well, Detroit got that lead in the second a few weeks ago, and then we ended up getting it back from them. I don't know when people are going to realize that the White Sox are the real deal.
Ray, you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, Quinn, I think you're right. I mean, I think the White Sox certainly are for real. I don't know if a lot of people are discounting them. I know that Tarvin and I are very high in the Tigers, and I think that's where we're coming from on our show. Is I think the Tigers are going to take down the White Sox. I don't think it's going to be a runaway, Quinn. I think that's going to be a very competitive series. The White Sox, what do you think about their moves, Quinn? I mean, they didn't make hardly any moves like the Tigers did.
Yeah, they didn't make really any moves, but we got Youkilis, and he's made a huge impact. And then Liriano, and I don't know how he'll pan out, but I don't think we really needed to make that many moves.
Yeah, I mean, Liriano could help you guys. Depending on, I mean, you lost Danks for the season with, you know, his surgery. So, you know, obviously Liriano is going to step in his rotation spot. But I still think you needed another arm. And, you know, you're right. Youkilis has been a great addition for you guys. But we'll see if down the stretch that's enough. Chris Sale,
and
we can continue what he's done. I mean, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, and we don't have the salary to get a huge name. That's why we got Liriano, because we didn't have the money.
Yeah,
Quinn, I just don't think, you know, by the end of the season that the White Sox have enough to really withstand what the Tigers are capable of putting on them. And it could be the Tigers could keep getting worse, man. The Chicago could win the division, but I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing Detroit getting hot, Verlander being unhittable, just like he always is, but it's just going to be hard for Chicago. I mean, eventually talent wins out, man.
Well, the only way Detroit will catch the White Sox is, I think, in the head-to-head. If we steal two or three in them in the next couple head-to-heads, I see no way they're catching us.
Yeah, that's a good point, Quinn. Those head-to-head matchups are really what, like Trey said earlier, it's really what matters in races this tight, this type of season. I mean, look at the Braves now. They haven't played the Nationals head up, but they're only 2.5 games out of first place. And so you just never know what can happen. But, Quinn, tell me the main reason right now you think the White Sox will win this division.
I think the White Sox have the proper coaching, and I think they've gotten belief in themselves, and they have good leadership. And I think they'll just carry through.
Yeah,
I mean, if Konerko and Dunn and Przinski can all stay hot, and if they get in a slump and other guys can pick it up, then we'll be in good shape. The problem was with the first couple of weeks in the second half of the season, everybody was in a slump, so we couldn't get really much run production, and that's why the Detroit took over the division. But once we got hot again, we made up ground, and that's kind of what happens with a young team too, because our bullpen is all rookies.
Yeah. I mean, Carmen, he actually brought up a really good point. That's one of the things that the White Sox can point to for their sort of success this year so far has been managing. I mean, Robin Ventura has really got the ear of the players, so he's kind of, I mean, he turned Adam Dunn around, who was basically a waste of space last year. So, you know, there is something to be said for an X factor with the White Sox, Tarvin, but, you know, I still think the Detroit talent does win out. But, I mean, the White Sox do kind of have that little season go, and a lot of things are going right for them.
Quinn, anything else before we go off Chicago?
No.
All right, man. Again, thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening. Stay on, man. We love having you on.
I will.
All right, man.
Okay.
Well, Trey, man, the Braves 2.5 games back right now. I mean, it's just It's their division, honestly, to lose, in my opinion. I know they're back right now. I don't think the Nationals will be able to handle the Braves head-to-head matchup. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, the thing about the Braves and the Nationals, Parvin, is really going to be, if Strasburg goes, they do end up, putting him on the shelf, which is looking just like they're going to actually do it, like they said they were. They're going to miss him in those head-to-head series. They're going to miss him in those big games because, Strasburg has been so dominant this year. You know, one of the things that the Braves are going to have to really do down the stretch is pitch well against that Nationals offense. I mean, some of the guys in that offense, the Nationals have gotten back in the second half. You know, they got Morse back, and Morse has been actually heating up, and they get Jason Wirth back, and we'll see where he fits in the lineup. Adam LaRoche has been great for the Nationals. So they've gotten bats where they didn't, no one expected their bats to really come all together this year, and it looks like that's what's happening. So it's going to come down to whether those Mike Miners and those, pitchers like that for the Braves can really come through in a series, when it comes down to those head-to-head games down the stretch against the Nationals. So that'll be the real key, Tarvin.
You're exactly right, man. And before we get off baseball, Trey, anything else you want to add?
No, I just Dodgers and Angels are the big winners, and then to me the Phillies and Red Sox the big losers. So West Coast loving living on the East Side, I guess, but the West Coast really did well in the trade deadline.
It could be a West Coast World Series, Dodgers versus Angels.
Yeah.
That could easily happen. But hey, let's shift over to college football a minute, Trey, and go over some news. Michael Dyer, Auburn's running back that was dismissed from the team that transferred to Arkansas State, is now dismissed from Arkansas State. And, man, I feel bad for this kid because I'm a Michael Dyer fan. I think he had a chance to be so good. You saw what he did last year at Auburn when their team, their offensive line was down, their quarterback play was bad. This guy just puts up huge numbers. And, Trey, what a waste of a talent, man.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about him is he seems to not have taken the opportunities. And that's the story we'll talk about when we get to the Florida State Greg Reed situation, too. I mean, Michael Dyer is such a talented kid and such an unfortunate series of incidents for him. I mean, getting kicked off a team like, I think, Valdosta State, which is where I think Greg Reed's going, is kind of unfortunate when you kicked off not one but two teams.
Yeah, and then if you're this Michael Dyer situation is turning out to where a police officer was in on like a cover-up. They said maybe they pulled him over with he had marijuana and a handgun, and the cop really didn't do anything. Trey, this guy could lose his job over this. And if you're the NFL, do you take a chance on Michael Dyer in this next year's draft?
Well, it's going to depend on how quickly he can turn himself around, how well he does in the combines, how well he does, in the interviews. I mean, he's a talented kid. I mean, we'll see. I mean, but, so was Maurice Claret. We all know where he is.
I would like to be the one interviewing him and be like, what in the world are you thinking, man? I mean, this kid has millions of dollars at his fingertips waiting. And I'm not saying Auburn paid the guy. I'm saying that when he went to the NFL So in the NFL, this guy, and I'm telling you, I'm a Michael Dyer fan. I'm not going to speak bad of the kid because he is a kid and he makes mistakes. But, man, somebody's got to take this. Should have took this kid to the side and said, hey, dude, come on. I mean, you're about to blow everything. And just say if he did go to the NFL, Trey, it's not going to be in the first few rounds. It might be late where if he would have even played at Arkansas State, say he set out this year, and he plays at Arkansas State next year and has a great season, he's going to be a first-round pick probably because they see what he's capable of, and they saw what he did in the SEC, and also the miles on him would be less. So you're getting a guy that can come to the NFL with only 2 years of wear and tear on those tires, so to speak, instead of three like most. So I think he would have been a first-rounder if he would have just stayed at Arkansas State.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that much in his talent, Tarvin, but, I mean, yeah, he did have the kind of talent, I think, that was a possibility, I mean, for sure.
But, let's go on to the Florida State Seminoles. big news out of Florida State today, Trey, your big place you love to call home, is Greg Reed, one of the best defensive cornerbacks in the country, a second-team All-American, was dismissed from the team by Mr. Jimbo. What do you say about that?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, Greg Reed is a guy who got suspended a couple of times. We're talking about minor stuff. I mean, the last few times, what I understand, it was a culmination issue. Like, you know, this was his year. He's a senior this year, at least it was going to be. And this last arrest apparently put Jimbo over the edge. And actually, there was a, you know, they did a news press conference with Greg Reed, and he said all the right things, Tarvin, which actually surprised me. I thought, you know, given that he just got kicked off Florida State's team, that he would come out and be very aggressive, but he didn't. He said, you know, I'm really sorry for, you know, for everything that happened, and, you know, he loves Florida State, hopes to redeem himself one day, and which was saying all the right things if, you know, if you're an NFL scout. The rest was a very minor issue. He had, you know, minor possession of marijuana. He was driving on a suspended license, and Tarvin, get this, he didn't have a seatbelt on. I mean, so that
how dare, how dare he?
I know. You know, those are the offenses that get, you know, a second team All-American kicked off Florida State. And so, I mean, I know there was other incidences before, but I mean, you're talking about nothing, you know, nothing major. So that kind of surprised me, you know. I mean, that was what led to him getting kicked off Florida State roster. But that's going to be a huge loss.
What about Dabo Swinney and Sammy Watkins? You know, a lot worse than that, it seems like. And I think he had to run a few laps around the track to get back in the good graces of the coach. So it seems like to me this is a statement. He's making an example out of this kid to show the rest of the team. This is what we do not tolerate at Florida State. You agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, Florida State had some off the field problems this year. I mean, just like any of like the other big programs, they got another, you know, what the whole Twitter thing, which led to Jimbo banning Twitter. I mean, the point is I think he's like, this is enough. And my program's not going to go out of control. I think he's saying, you know, like, no, this is it. I run this program. You're by my rules, or you're off the team. And oh, by the way, we're going to do it to our best players. It's a big statement, Tarvin. I mean, we'll see how the fans react when, you know, we see the backup cornerback getting burned down the field and our punt returner. I mean, Greg Reed was set to break Deion Sanders' school record for punt returns this year. I mean, so we all know how great Deion Sanders was at returning kicks, and Greg Reed was going to break that record. So we're talking about a very talented kid, and I know a lot of Florida State people I've talked to have said, you know, this team is the deepest at cornerback, but I don't know how you can lose a talent that big and just recover.
Yeah, I mean, what about, you know, the news out of Wisconsin? Lonnie Ball last night was jumped by four or five guys, and they said it was unprovoked, like he was just walking down the street. But Trey, the thing is, it's 2:30 in the morning. Again, what's this kid doing out at 2:30 in the morning?
Who knows? I mean, he could be out having a good time. I mean, there's nothing wrong with necessarily what he was doing from the stories, but, you know, I mean, who knows what the, you know, what led up to it. I mean, maybe this guy kissed somebody's girlfriend. Who knows? I mean, these kind of things, you know, people get really stupid really fast in college. So, you know, it's good that they caught the guys who did it, and that's all that really matters. But, I mean, the, you know, police are saying it's unprovoked, and I'm going to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, this guy seems like a good kid, and you're probably right. It's something minor and stupid that causes this stuff to happen a lot of the times. And, you know, we got to remember these guys are just kids. You know, they don't realize that they can be in trouble by doing something, or if they don't understand wrong place at the wrong time. And remember, my mom always used to say, nothing good happens after 12. And she's right. You see a lot of this bad stuff happen. It seems like it's always, you know, early in the morning, late at night type of hours. So is he going to be ready to play, Trey? Is this guy going to be able to suit up in a month and play football?
Well, he said that he may have had a mild concussion. So we know how college sports and NFL are with concussions now. So one of the things that surprised me about the whole thing was when the coach came out and said, you know, we're just worried about his health. Well, that, I know he's been released from the hospital, but that to me indicated that he may have a concussion, and there may be some, you know, obviously anytime you have a concussion now in any kind of sport, there's, you know, almost a waiting period to make sure you can get back on the field. And so we'll see, Darvin. I mean, if he has a concussion, then this may be something that lingers throughout the year. I mean, that would be really sad for him to miss time, you know, because he got jumped. I mean, that's certainly not something you want to see.
Yeah, I've been jumped before. It's not very fun.
No.
I mean, you know, five guys, but somebody did. I think a good Samaritan outside saw what was happening and went out to help him. And I think a couple of his friends were walking ahead of him when it sounds like and come back and helped him. But you know as well as I do, it only takes 10 or 15 seconds to do a lot of damage for somebody. And Trey, we're going to go to the phones. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, Tarvin. What's up, Trey?
Hey. What's up, Sonya?
Nothing much. I'm in OCD mode. I'm cleaning as I'm listening to you guys.
What do you have to share with us tonight?
I just wanted to pop in and say hello. I was just listening to you guys, and I know you've got your guest coming on soon, so I was in the chat room, and I told Trey I would just pop on just to say hello since we had missed the last couple of shows.
I know. How's everything going?
Oh, fine. Ready for freaking football.
Yeah.
Well, we're a month away. Today is August 1st, and the majority of the games kick off September 1st, but we have, what is it, the 29th? Or 30th, something like that, the 30th it starts. So we're almost there, Sonny.
Huh?
So we're almost there. So tell me, what do you think about Michael Dyer, what happened and all this trouble that he got into real quick?
Man, you know what? I'm just sick of it. I'm really to the point where some of these kids, it's like you get an opportunity that you got kids that are just dying to have. And you get in and you screw up, and it's just like, all right.
Sonya, it's not just like Michael Dyer is just some average player. I mean, this guy has put up huge numbers in the SEC. And even last year when Auburn was, you know, had a lot of issues on the offensive side of the ball, he was the one bright spot on that entire offense. So that should say something about the guy.
I know. And what gets me, it's just, it's like you were saying earlier, you know, what are you doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning? You know,
mm-hmm.
You just kind of go, where are your decision-making skills, and just what's your focus? And to me, if you're not focused in the off season, I don't know about your focus when season kicks off. It's like, come on, grow up.
You know, there needs to be something put in place, guys, for these players. I mean, they're too young to really make their own decisions sometimes. Like, just to put a rule in place, hey, Jared, from August 1st, you don't go anywhere. You know, you're on lockdown. You go to school or whatever, you go to practice, and that's it. You're not going to be at nightclubs. You're not going to be out anytime past midnight, especially.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes you do have to you want to treat them as an adult, but when they make stupid decisions like this, you're just wondering, do you even have the right to call them an adult?
Yeah, and also they're not getting paid to play, so it's kind of hard. It'd be different, I think, if the guys were getting paid money to actually play football. It would be easier to enforce those rules, Trey. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you were in college, but I spent a lot of time out at 2:30 in the morning in college, so... I mean, but the thing about college and the thing about a lot of high schools is they have curfews, they have rules they enforce. I mean, so that's all doable. I mean, that's all. I mean, you can enforce whatever rules. I mean, playing college football isn't a right. You can say, hey, you're going to be on my team. You're going to cut your hair a certain way. I mean, there's all kind of crazy stuff you'll hear from coaches. So, I mean, it's just a matter of how they want to run their program and, you know, how much they want to control these kids' lives. I mean, they are in college. You've got to give them some amount of freedom and let them make some choices and grow up. So, but obviously
totally
you want them to do that
right.
And not –
The bottom line is, it's up to the individual. Because for every player that gets in trouble and makes stupid mistakes like this, there's 30 more that don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
but
so
it's sad when you see Michael Dyer, though, somebody of that talent. And I've seen it a lot lately. You see some of these kids that you know is millions of dollars are waiting on them in just a year or two. And then they go out and just screw it up. And it just like the Auburn guys that got armed robbery. I mean, all of those guys were great athletes. I mean, okay, you know, you're going to rob somebody and go to prison for the rest of your life. I mean, I just don't understand it, guys. I really don't understand what's going through their brain.
I don't either.
Well,
It's college and pro. It seems like every other day there's some story about an NFL player or a college player, whether it's DUI, domestic violence, throwing beer bottles like Tyler Bray. I mean, just stupid stuff. And you just go, come on.
Yeah, the Tyler Bray incident, throwing beer bottles and stuff at a parked cars. I mean, how stupid is that? I mean, that,
I know.
That's worse when they're getting caught with marijuana, honestly.
Well, if you're going to throw beer bottles, I'm like this. Instead of throwing beer bottles, throw a football. At least get some practice in. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dang,
no,
make it worth your while. But it does seem to be this big flood of just making stupid decisions. I don't know what's going on with these kids. And at some point, you just have to say, you know what? Again, you're an adult. That's the decision you made. Suffer the consequences. Because believe me, there's five other guys standing right behind you that want your spot.
Oh, totally. Well, Sonia, I really appreciate the call tonight. Are you going to stay on and listen?
Yeah, I'm going to stay on and listen. But I wanted to say this before you go, because I know you got your visitor. But I don't know if you've announced it, but for our listeners, our own Brian Tarvin has written a couple of stories for BCS.net. You guys should go check it out, www.bcs.net. If you're not going to toot your horn, Tarvin, I will. So.
I appreciate that. Yeah, BCS.net. This week I wrote two articles, one on the SEC and one on Auburn. So a lot of people didn't like my Auburn article, Sonia.
Well, that's okay, because they're Bama fans, so it'll be
exactly.
All right. I'm probably going to get the same thing when I contribute mine.
You're going to do a great
all right,
job.
You guys...
I know how thorough you are, Sonia. You'll do great.
Well, thank you, sweetie. We're going to listen,
right.
So you guys go ahead. Trey, how's that baby doing?
Oh, he's good.
Awesome. All right, guys.
Thanks.
We'll listen. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Sonia.
Hey, sweetie.
All right, we're going to bring on our guest, Chris Smith. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, Brian. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Glad to have you on. Thanks for coming on the show. I know we spoke yesterday a good while, and everyone's excited about you coming on tonight. And for those that don't know, I mentioned it earlier, Chris runs his own recruiting service, so to speak. You can go to southernprepstars.com or PNprepstars.com. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, first, I appreciate you letting me come on and speak and talk to the fans out there. A little bit about me and what I do, and I got to throw my partner in there too, Dirk Knutson. Me and him work together on these sites, and we have a main site called PrepProfiles.com, which is being built is like the mothership site to SouthernPrepStars.com as well as TennesseePrepStars.com. What I do basically is for my website, Southern Prep Stars, is I handle pretty much anything and everything when it comes to football recruiting in the South, and that covers from Virginia down to Louisiana, Florida, Arkansas, and all in between. I write main articles, scout players, check out highlight tapes, put together profiles, get in touch with college coaches, and pretty much keep recruits in the know-how of what they need to know when it comes to college recruiting, as well as trying to promote them the best way possible. Because South football, whether it be college football, pro football, high school football, it's a big deal in the South, and a lot of talent that's being spilled into college football comes from the South. So what better way to work in and then work around the players that are, going to be the future players, what everybody watches on Saturday.
And so, Chris, how do you go about finding these players? Do they come to you and give you their profile and their video or their game tape and you review it, or do you go approach the coaches, or how does that work?
Well, it's a little bit of a mix of several things. I use Facebook, Twitter, and other social media sites on the internet as big recruiting tools because, a lot of kids these days, whether it be 17 and under, they love the social media aspect of things, so they're all over the place. So a lot of recruits get in touch with me. I get in touch with them. I talk to coaches. I talk to their coaches. I find highlight tapes. Any which way I can get in touch with a player, I'm game for. I try to use as many tools as I can possible to get in touch with people, and I try to stick at it pretty thoroughly and, try to keep players coming flowing into the Southern Prep Star brand.
So looking at your ranking, so I know you rank players just like Rivals Scout. I know you used to work for Rivals. So how are you different from Rivals and Scout, really? is there a different formula you use than they use?
Well, I wouldn't say there is a particular formula, but what I would say is everybody's got their opinions. Everybody's got, you know, certain players that they feel like is better than some others. And I agree with a lot of what other, you know, recruiting sites say, but I try to focus a lot of what I do off my own opinion and base it off of what I see and what I think. I am a big-time underdog guy. I'm willing to let any guy that, you know, has the talents, has the physical traits to play college football, get a chance, even if they're, you know, lacking in a couple areas. And there's always room for improvement. So I try to base a lot of things off potential. I don't do anything off particular numbers. I run my rating star system off Southern Prep stars between one star all the way up to five, but there's in between that 2.5 stars, 3.5 stars, 4.5 stars, players that are on the brink of getting that extra half star. So there's a range of plenty for tons of players to be ranked at. And I'm in the process right now of putting out the top prospects of the South at each position. And you can check out all these articles at southernprepstars.com. We've done the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and today came out with the tight ends. Plan on coming out with the offensive tackles tomorrow. And the way I do it is yes, I do take a gander at everybody's rankings just to see what everybody thinks, but I base everything off highlight tapes that I see, talking to the players themselves, talking to the coaches, if I'm able to talk to them, and kind of formulate everything off my opinion of what I think they can be down the line, their potential, or what they could be right now. And I try to be pretty fair. I try to be pretty fair to a lot of players and sometimes give some players a little leniency that I feel like is lacking in some areas, but I really feel like could be star players down the line, just lacking on a few things. But at Southern Prep Stars and Prep Profiles and TennesseePrepStars.com, we you know, try to do our best to give every kid an equal opportunity to get noticed and give them the chance to get their name noticed.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you about one player just for an example. Reuben Foster, the linebacker that transferred from Alabama to Auburn, how good is he, and what is he ranked on yours?
Well, if I had to give him a ranking right now, I would put him at about a 4.5, close to 5-star. I do think highly of him, and I do think it's a very good pickup for Auburn. The main things that I like about him is he's very physical. He's very big. And he will be a, you know, he'll be a clog in the middle for the linebacker course for Auburn trying to stop the run. Now, I like kids that are big, physical, but it can also run. And I feel like Foster needs to get a little bit faster. Now, I'm not saying that he can, and I think he probably will, given him the chance to get into a college, you know, weight training system. He'll be good. But I do think Foster would be around the 4.5, 5-star ranking, and would more than likely be one of the top signees for Auburn at the end of the year.
Is there anybody out there right now that's kind of a high-profile name that's going to be, you know, that might be ranked 15 or 20 or so that could really step up and be a monster sign for someone on signing day?
Well, the first guy that I can think of right now comes from the state of Alabama, and I think he's a big-time underrated running back. And I think once he gets into the collegiate ranks, he's going to show that he was one of the top 15 to 20 running backs in the whole entire country. And that's Jonathan Ford out of New Hope High School in New Hope, Alabama. What I like about him is he's got good size. He's about 5'11", 6 foot, and he runs with an equal amount of you know, power and speed. He can run through the line with great tenacity and great force and great tackles. But also, once he hits the open field, he's got quick feet and niftiness to where he can break loose in the open field and run for a touchdown. I think he's way underrated when it comes to, you know, all the recruiting sites. And when I did my running back rankings last week, I actually had him ranked in my top 20 running backs in the South. As a matter of fact, top 15, I think. So, and he's got offers from several BCS programs. He is currently committed to Vanderbilt University, but he has offers from Minnesota, Purdue, Stanford, Mississippi State, with some other schools showing interest. But as far as I know from talking with Jonathan several times, he's solid on his commitment to Vandy. And he's a little bit of the – he embarks on the underdog role a little bit too. He likes the fact that he is way underrated. Now, he wants to be highly rated, but he lives the underrated role and thinks that he's just going to build off that and prove people wrong. And I love that attitude in a running back. I love players that's got chips on their shoulders that feel slighted in some areas. And I think with him committing to Vandy and holding that role, I think it's a good fit. And I really do think he is one of the top players in the state of Alabama.
And just a question for you, and this not really off the subject, but, you know, when I look at Rivals and Scout 247 or what, does it seem to you, and I could be wrong, that these guys seem to favor certain teams, college teams, and not just the player? So if, say, a player's committed to a so-and-so team, just because they support that team, they rank them a little higher. Do you believe that?
I do think, in a sense, that does happen to an extent. I think all recruiting sites try to be as fair as possible, but I do think there are leniency to certain programs out there that if, you know, a certain player was committed to a lesser-known school, he wouldn't get as much publicity as if he was committed to a bigger-name school, you know, a high-power profile school that, you know, consistently wins and stuff like that. I'm not saying everybody does it, because there are some legitimate great, you know, writers and analysts out there, but I do think there are a few that, you know, kind of prop up some players when they're committed to schools just to, you know, hype the agenda of those certain programs.
So there's a big-time running back recruit that just decommitted from Oklahoma, and his name's slipping my mind, just decommitted from Oklahoma, and now he's opened it up. So where do you think, who is this kid? What's his name? I can't even think of it right now.
The kid's name is Greg Bryant. He's a running back out of Delray Beach, Florida. He's highly, highly thought of. Was committed to Oklahoma, recently decommitted this past week. There had been rumors flying around for several weeks that he had been looking to possibly decommit, and he finally popped on that this week. And the school that's been mentioned that he's seriously considering was Auburn, Florida, Florida State, Alabama, and I believe LSU. Now, don't hold me to that, but I believe that's the school that's been mentioned. And the school that's been mentioned the most would be Auburn. He seems like he's visited there a couple of times, and he really likes it down there. He also really likes the idea of playing in the SEC, which, you know, a lot of recruits, not only in the South but around the country, like that idea. So with Brian possibly looking that way, Auburn's got a couple of players committed already at that position. And one player to look out for down the road, not saying it will happen, just something to keep an eye out on, is Jordan Wilkins out of Memphis, who committed to Auburn a couple of weeks ago. He's another highly rated running back. Good size, 6'1", 210 pounds, runs with a great balance of power and speed, who's a very, very good pickup for Auburn. But he's looking for playing time a lot, too. So, you know, who knows if Bryant pulls the trigger for the War Eagles down the line, that could be something to watch out for.
Good information. Trey, do you have any questions, bud?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. You said you focus primarily on the South. That's one of the questions our chat room's really asking about. So do you get out of the South at all, or is it just the South?
Well, me personally, I'll give you a two-part answer to that. I used to work for another recruiting agency not that long ago, and when I was working with them, I handled a lot of the United States, not just the South. So I've been able to build a lot of relationships with a lot of players and coaches outside of the Southern region. So I try to incorporate that as much as I can through other avenues of our company, except for the Southern Prep Stars. But with our main website, prepprofiles.com, that is a main website that handles pretty much anybody and everybody throughout the country. And our plan down the line is how I've got TennesseePrepStars.com is to eventually branch out and have state sites for each state. So eventually have like an Indiana Prep Stars, Michigan Prep Stars, California Prep Stars, stuff like that. So hopefully with the progress that we're making now and what we plan to do down the line, we do help to branch out a lot more with around the country with more players.
Roger that. Let me ask you this. You were talking about running backs. You know, Derek Green is a guy from Virginia. Where do you see him going? A lot of programs have him as the number one running back in the country. Come out of Richmond, Virginia. Where do you see him going?
Well, first, let me personally say that I think Derek Green is one of the best prospects overall in this class because he's a big man that's got a physical body but is very fast for his size and runs with a serious purpose. His recruitment, he's cut it down to about 8 to 12 schools right now, and he's taking visits unofficially, and he's planning on taking official visits coming up soon as well. He's looking at several schools from Auburn, Oregon, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma, and some others. And there's not really one particular school I think that can probably stand out right now. I would look for him to possibly make a decision anywhere from December in between signing day. But for the listeners down there, Auburn is seriously considered at the top of the list for Green. And see, that's another thing with Auburn pursuing these running backs. You know, that's a lot of high-profile running backs that they're looking at that could, you know, could be an interesting thing to keep an eye on down the line if everybody ends up making commitments that way. But once again, like I said, Green is a very big-time prospect, five-star all the way, that I believe whoever he ends up committing to will be a prime-time player possibly as a true freshman next year and can put up some serious yards.
So Chris, who is he going to be with? Give us a prediction.
If I had to make a guess, I really think it would come down to a four-team race between Auburn, Virginia Tech, Oregon, and Oklahoma. And if I had to make a choice, I'd probably go with Oklahoma. And the reason I say that is because with Greg Bryant decommitting and possibly looking towards Auburn's way, that could put a wedge in between that and Green, but that opens up a slot for Green at Oklahoma, who he's started considering a lot highly here lately. So that'd be the school I think I'd watch out for.
Let me ask you this as well. This class seems to be really heavy on defensive players at the very top. Are there any offensive players other than Green who you see come out of this class who would make a name very quick, whether it be a quarterback, a receiver, or a running back? Other than Green, you might see come out and play as a freshman at a big-time school.
Yeah, there's a couple of players I like. I really like tight end O.J. Howard out of Autauga, Alabama. I think he's a physical specimen that actually could probably line up in several areas on the offense. Could probably use a little bit more in the blocking, but he's actually pretty good at that too. But he's just a dynamic receiving threat, and he could put his hand on the ground and line up on the line and spread out, or he could line up in the slot and run routes and make catches down the field like that. He's that athletic and that fluid in his ability to receive the ball. I think he's a big-time pickup for Alabama, and I think he'd be a big-time contributor as a freshman. I also really like the quarterback, Jonathan McCrary, out of Georgia. I think he's getting a little slighted right now because he made such a commitment early in the process to Vanderbilt. But I think he's probably the best dual-threat quarterback in this class when it comes to throwing the ball, but also being able to make plays with his legs. He's got great size, too, at 6'4", and over 200 pounds, so he's not a small guy. I think more time to be smoother on the passing, be a little bit more accurate on the deep ball. I think he could be a very good future signal caller for Vandy down the line. And I think he could end up being a very good steal as a quarterback for someone that's not getting as propped up as much. A wide receiver I really like is Marquez North out of North Carolina. He stated today that he's come close to making – he's got it down to two schools between Clemson and Georgia. North Carolina and Georgia. But this is another kid that's big, physical, great-looking body, great-looking frame that's still growing, big hands, can go up and catch the ball at the highest point, come down with it, throw off the defender and keep going down the field. He's a very big-time playmaker that I think could be a number one, two wide receiver early in his career.
Interesting.
Hey, Chris, how about Jayron Kearse? He's making a decision Friday between Clemson and Auburn. What do you think about this player as a receiver? How good is he?
I think he's an intriguing athletic specimen because he's another player that's got big size. But the thing about him is he's versatile. So you don't really necessarily know what position he may be in college. He could be a wide receiver. He could actually grow to be a tight end. Or you could switch him to defense and grow him into a linebacker or possibly speed rushing defensive end because he's got that big a frame. If I had to guess right now, I actually think Auburn may have the lead for him because they recruited him for a long time, and he was once previously committed to Miami. But at that time when he made the commitment to Miami, he was then considering Auburn very highly as well. And Clemson has been raking through commitments within the last month, and they could be getting close to their limit of a commit. So I would seriously look for Kirsch to make a possible commitment to Auburn come that time.
And I have a question. That's a good point you brought up. Clemson, what is going on at Clemson for all these recruits just all of a sudden, every day you turn on the TV, at the bottom you see it scrolling down at the bottom on ESPN, so-and-so, four-star, five-star commits to Clemson.
Well, what's helping them right now is Coach Sweeney's is a good talker. He's a good recruiter. He's a family guy, too, that knows how to get into parents and talk to their kids. And he sells it very well. But what also helps him, I think, for this recruiting class in particular, was how explosive their offense was last year. And with Taj Boyd coming back this year, along with Sammy Watkins and their other wide receivers that they got, they've got another explosive offense that's expected to be possibly even better this year. So the recruits looking at it from that standpoint, especially if you look at the recruits they've gotten committed on the offense side of the ball, they've got three big-time wide receivers committed right now that I think are very, very good players in DeMarcus Robinson out of Georgia, Ryan Jenkins out of Georgia, and Mike Williams out of South Carolina. All three of those players are high-profile receivers who see what the current receivers at Clemson are doing and are attracted to that. And that goes a long way with how they're recruiting right now. So, but it happens every year with a lot of teams. It flushed away. You know, recruiting can go hit or miss depending on how you do each season. But right now they're doing a very, very good job and still have a couple of spots open. So I'd possibly look for Clemson to be in the top 10 when it's all said and done.
How about Florida State? When you look at them this season, do you think they're going to end up with a strong finish?
I do. You talking about as their season itself?
Yeah, I mean for the recruiting class coming up. Do you see them loading up? It seems like Fisher, he's a great recruiter as well. And it just seems like it's growing in the ACC. Some of these coaches are getting some major talent. Florida State looks like they're getting these SEC-caliber players in, and it won't be long before they're starting to compete for a national title. What do you think of that?
Well, I can partially agree with you about that. But, see, Florida State's been recruiting on a high level for a while. Has just been, I guess, kind of lacking on the field when it comes to production. I think, once again, they're putting together another big-time recruiting class. And there's a player who's going to be making a decision sometime soon between Florida State and Vanderbilt, actually, and that's Gavin Bellamy, a defensive end, 6'5", 240, out of Georgia. And this kid's a big-time athlete, got big-time size and potential written all over him. And he's another guy that for Florida State they're hoping to get because he looks like a Florida State player. excuse me. But when you look at the recruiting class right now, and my favorite player on their whole entire commitment class is Ryan Green. He's a running back out of St. Petersburg, Florida. I think he is complete when you talk about a running back. He's not overly big. He's about 5'10", 188 right now, but that's not a bad size at all. But what he offers you is massive speed along with the one-cut ability to catch a defender, put him in his place, and break off for a long run just like that because he's got long-range speed. But what also makes him very interesting is he's probably the best receiver out of the backfield in this class. He can catch balls like it's easy and it's nothing out of the backfield. He's got great hands, softness, and he actually can run routes like a receiver. You could line him out in the slot and let him run a short little dig or a short crossing pad or something like that, and he can do damage that way. But I think overall, down the line, I think Florida State may end up with a top 15, top 10 class just like they normally do.
Okay. And you know, the SEC is a – oh, I'm sorry, Trey. Go ahead, bud.
I just got one random question. This is something that I think Tarvin and I have talked about, and, you know, we see more and more, and that's sort of abuses going on from these college coaches in the recruiting game, and it's gotten dirtier and dirtier. I just want to – what have you seen on the recruiting trail from coaches, and who do you think – which programs do you think violated the most? And who's the most, I guess, who stays most true to the NCAA's spirit when it comes to recruiting that you've seen?
Well, I don't want to get, you know, too personal or anything like that. I mean, everybody's got their opinions, and I got my own and stuff like that. And I do think, you know, the recruiting side of things has sped up a lot over the last couple of years. And, yes, there's a couple of teams out there I feel like, you know, do their business a little bit different compared to others. And, I mean, don't want to state the obvious, but, I mean, people can see that and have their own opinions about that. But
yeah.
The way I see recruiting going now is with it speeding up so much, you see 8th graders and 9th graders being offered scholarships by big-time programs now. And when you just think of the common sense thing from Florida all the way to Washington, California, and New York, there's 50 states full of football players everywhere. And when you include 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th, 11th, and 12th, that's a lot of players that you have to handle and deal with. But the purpose I'm seeing now with coaches offering players so early is it's just them trying to beat that other coach to the punch, trying to, you know, Nick Saban going against Gene Chizik saying this kid in 8th grade out of, you know, Madison, Alabama, Bob Jones High School, he's a physical specimen that's got big-time potential. But Saban's wanting to offer him first before Chizik, just so that kid knows down the line, even in 8th or 9th grade, by the time he's ready to make that decision, that kid knows, hey, I was the coach that offered you first. So that's what it seems like the role is going right now. And, I mean, it's made the recruiting side of things a hard thing to handle sometimes. There's a lot of info, a lot of things to deal with, and, you know, it's fun. I love it. Enjoy it. It's just a lot of work sometimes. And I think eventually, because there's so many people trying to dip their hands into it or whatnot, that I think down the line that there could be some governing done by the NCAA. Just an opinion, but I think it's a possibility.
So looking at recruiting, Chris, like how big of a selling point is it? Just the name, the clout, the SEC, how much weight does that carry with it when you're picking between two schools, two major schools?
Well, I'd say in this day, the SEC brand name carries major weight, and it carries weight all the way up into the north and to the west, heck, even Canada. You got players coming down here to transfer from the south just to be closer to it. I mean, the SEC brand name is just as – not just as big, but when you're talking football, you're talking NFL, college football in itself is a brand name, and then the SEC – the SEC right now winning all these national titles, and it's not just in football. And people do look at football and see that as, you know, that's the tipping point, that's what everybody focuses on. But SEC lately, and even history you look at it, but lately all the sports are winning. Basketball, softball, baseball, volleyball, tennis, golf. I mean, all SEC programs are winning in athletics all around the country these days. And all the kids in high school sports, whether it be football and all the rest of them, they see that. I mean, with the social media and the internet and the TV and everything like that, kids are in tune to this stuff, and they pay attention to it, and it carries weight to them when it comes to making their decision of where they want to attend college, because they see all the athletes coming out of the SEC schools going to the NFL, going to the NBA, going to pro baseball, competing in the Olympics. If you go look at all the Olympics right now and all the players that are United States born, I guarantee you the majority of them on all sports, if you averaged it out of who went to school where, the SEC would be on top. That's just how it is right now. And when it comes to choosing a school, when it comes to athletics, I guarantee you the SEC is going to be considered no matter what.
Yeah, that's some real good points there. Trey, do you have any final questions?
No. Hopefully we can bring you back on when it gets sort of close to they start doing their official visits. I'd love to talk to you more about some of the things that I see out there and some of the things that you may see. So it'd be interesting to hear from you again for sure.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
Hey, Chris, you want to give us your websites again real quick where they can look you up?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Anybody wanting to come check me out, check out my sites, check out my boss's sites, it's prepprofiles.com, it's southernprepstars.com, and it's tnprepstars.com, for TennesseePrepstars.com. I'm all over Facebook as well. I mean, you can contact me there anytime. I'm also on Twitter at ChrisSmith825. And, you know, I appreciate it. And anytime you wanted to have me on, or anybody's interested in the websites, please contact me anytime. I'm available.
Definitely. And Chris, it will be very soon, and we really do appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure the listeners do as well. So thank you very much, and we will see you soon.
All right, no problem, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, take care, man.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, man. Well, Trey, how'd you like him?
It was good. Good and good information. You know, Tyler, I got a question that sort of piggybacks on the recruiting theme, and just thinking with college football, I know Penn State, you know, we talked about that ad nauseum, but there's a new wrinkle. You know, some of these players on their roster, their starters, are all starting to transfer out. Tarvin, so far it looks like a sixth one just actually transferred or is intent to transfer. So Silas Redd goes to USC. The backup quarterback, Rob Bolden, goes to LSU. The safety, Tim Buckley, goes to NC State. Tight end, Kevin Halpier, which is actually a big-time guy, goes to Florida State. Linebacker, Fort, goes to Cal, and looks like, Tarvin, on the chat board, somebody just told me that looks like their kicker will transfer to Texas after he contacted Texas. So what do you think about that, Tarvin?
Well, we talked about it, you know, and I especially gave my opinion that this was going to happen. It was just a matter of time, and I think the longer we go for the season, I think the more you'll see this. But, I mean, I think you might even see it, you know, at the end of this next season. But you only have, I mean, Trey, how much longer can you really transfer and actually play this year? I mean, practice just started for Auburn, I believe. And, I mean, you know, some of these schools are starting now. So, well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think they have to transfer soon. I mean, for one reason is obviously football practice. But for another, I mean, they still are, you know, college, you know, athletes, so they still have to actually attend school. So, you know, we're looking at the college school year starting as well. And so I think that, you know, now is the time. I think they're going to have to really, you may have, you know, the next week or so, all of them basically come into fruition because they're going to have that transfer and get all the paperwork for the new school. And anybody who's ever attended college knows how crappy starting a school can be. I mean, you know, your shots and everything else. I mean, these kids got to do the exact same thing. So, I mean, they're going to have to move and all that stuff. So these kids better make their decision fast, Tarvin.
Well, these are the best players, and I think they're going to continue to be picked off. But what does that say to the upcoming people, just say the freshmen and the upcoming freshmen? How strong do you think Penn State's recruiting class could really be? Because if I'm a kid thinking about going to Penn State now and I'm seeing everyone jump off the ship, I don't think I'm going to be trying to climb up on that ship.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Harvin. I mean, the big-time five-star quarterback, Franzen, I think is his name, just came out with, I think, six other high school recruits and re-pledged to Penn State. So, I mean, think about this, Harvin. This kid is a five-star quarterback. I mean, he could be playing at a prime time anywhere he wants school, and he's going to come play for Penn State where he will never be in the postseason. He has absolutely no shot of ever playing for anything that matters. No Big Ten championship, no college football championship. No, I mean, he can't even be in the playoffs. And this is basically a five-star kid who could probably be, you know, at USC if he wanted to. And he's going to Penn State, apparently. So that,
where
that's
is
very
he from, Tarvin? Do you know where he's from, actually?
Give me a second. I can tell you. I mean, I'm looking up real quick.
Because, you know, it could be that, the allegiance to where he's from, but also – you know, their coach was the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. So in his mind, he might be trying to win favor with the coach and the fans and the future NFL team that might take him. Because you know as well as I do, he can get talked up by his coach, and they're going to listen because he has experience in the NFL. So this kid might be making a financial decision with this instead of just an emotional decision, which kudos to the kid for sticking by his commitment. Do you think he will stick with it, Trey?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I got the kid's name wrong, Tarvin. It's actually Christian Hackenberg. He's a 6'4 quarterback out of Fort Union, Virginia. So, that's another interesting point. And this kid is not in Joe Pa territory. I mean, I figured when I first saw his name, I was like, well, this kid clearly is from somewhere in Pittsburgh, you know, in Pennsylvania. But this is a Virginia guy. So who knows, Tarvin, what his allegiance is to Penn State and why he's going to keep going there.
And he could have been, like, everybody's eyes are on this guy because, like you said, five-star quarterback could play anywhere he wanted, and maybe he's just wanting to get people's eyes off him while he tries to make a decision, you know. And it's, I mean, it would be hell if he didn't come out and actually make that announcement, because everybody's going to ask him every day, when are you leaving? When are you going to leave? Where are you going to go? So I think he just made this decision to kind of let the dust settle and for him to make a decision. But I would be willing to bet money that at the start of our own signing day, this guy will not be signing that letter with Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting, Tarvin. Right now, Penn State has 12 recruits still committed. I mean, I'm looking at the recruitment list, Tarvin, and I see at least four or five, at least four stars. I mean, you know, four. So we're talking about big name kids that are still right now committed. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of recruiting left to do, and you know, while the kid from, you know, Hershey, Pennsylvania may stick with it, I don't know about the kid from Florida. You know, so we'll see.
Hey, Sonia, are you with us? You're on Way In Sports, 770 area code. Who is this? Trey, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, someone must be disconnected or not a good connection. But so tell me about, you know, it just seems like it's open season at Penn State. You know, some coaches like Bielema from Wisconsin, Mark Richt came out and said they would not be taking any players from Penn State. So why do you think they would come out and do that, Trey?
Well, one is maybe they don't have the ability to actually transfer them. I mean, there's some schools that can't go there at their limit anyway. And so maybe it's just good, I think it's good PR to come out and say, hey, we're not going to take any of these kids. You know, we're not going to pick them off. I don't think it's right. Well, you know, maybe they say that. Maybe they don't have the scholarships. I don't know. I don't know what each individual is thinking. Maybe some of them just have a problem with it. I don't know. Maybe some of them are friends, you know, with the coach there at Penn State. So I don't see why it's a problem. The NCAA has said it's allowable. I mean, you could see why some of these kids might want to leave. It's not as if, to me, that you're, you know, taking a kid who's happy and content. I mean, some of these kids, like the kicker, you know, he called Texas himself, and he actually put it out on, you know, Twitter. You know, I mean, so some of these kids are making it very public they want to leave, and I don't see any reason why that the coaches can't, you know, help them fulfill that dream to leave.
Well, Trey, before we leave, and I have Jason and Sonia, they want to come on and weigh in with us. How's it going?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Brian.
What's up? Where's Jason at?
I'm here.
The Angry Gopher's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Angry Gopher?
I'm happy.
So you guys want to weigh in on this subject we're talking about?
We'll weigh in on it, baby.
You first.
The PSU thing. Who didn't see it coming? I mean, for real.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's talking like it's some big shocker. Who didn't see it coming? These kids have to think of themselves. And you really can't get upset. The ones that stay, I have much respect for them. You know, that means they're there for an education. It's not just about football. But the other ones, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
Tarvin, I mean, really, the biggest joke that I think is, because everyone wants to say what was handed down to them was worse than the death penalty, I kind of disagree with that, because I look at what the death penalty did to SMU, and at least PSU can actually play football. With SMU, they didn't have a football program for 2 years at all. That's a lot worse than what Penn State has. And to me, $60 million in fines, that's nothing for them. You know, my company that I work for, one of the biggest concerns when that judgment was handled down is, well, how are they? Because Penn State's a big customer for us. They do a lot of business with us. And everyone was worried about, you know, was this going to hit into what they're able to spend? I'll tell you up front, their purchasing has never been stronger. So it's not like it's hurting them financially. So, you know, they'll recover, you know, and they'll be a better football team and better school for it. I think it's, to me, it's probably what needed to be done. I mean, they needed to get back to being an educational institution first, and this was a hard lesson to learn. So, you know, and as far as players going elsewhere, the only thing I say is I just wish two of them would come to Minnesota.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you know, I was watching Media Days, and they asked Coach Kill, you know, were they going to pursue any PSU players? And he said point blank, I've got enough issues to work with just on my football team to be more concerned with, and we're focusing on that. So they're not going after any of those players. I mean, but they're not saying, you know, if they don't get contacted, they won't initiate the process, but, you know, they're focused on this year and getting their team ready. And honestly, for my team, I'm loving it because I've never seen so much hype for my Minnesota Gophers in a lot of years, and people are excited. I expect some special things from them this year. Not saying they're going to go undefeated, but they're going to surprise a few teams. But, you know, PSU, I mean, like Sonya said, I mean, we didn't see it coming. I mean, give me a break. You know, and as far as in the Big Ten, ever since they joined the Big Ten, they've been not, I wouldn't say elite, because they never did compete with Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan. They were always that fourth or fifth team. So it's not like, you know, they were the star program in the Big Ten. So I feel sorry for actually the other teams in the Big Ten because the games they play against PSU basically means nothing. You know, and it hurts the rest of the Big Ten. So
it means a win, Jason.
Huh?
It means a win.
I think in general, because it screws up the whole championship for Big Ten. It's just a bad situation, and honestly, it really reflects bad on the conference in general. And I think we all get hurt just from this instance. And, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, pinpoint, oh, I feel sorry for PSU. I feel sorry for the conference in general, you know, because it's just a bad situation. But honestly, they handled it the right way. That's my personal opinion.
Hey, guys, is there anything y'all want to share before we go tonight? Anything you want to talk about?
What's going on in the world of football?
We got about a month.
Oh, yeah. 1 month left till my favorite time of year.
I know.
So we're looking forward to Bama versus Meat Chicken. So.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that.
Well, I'm seeing, Trey, I'm seeing a lot of Michigan fans, you know, throughout the last couple of weeks. For all of a sudden, they're getting more confident. Trey, what do you think's up with that?
Well, Denard Robinson just got put on the preseason second-team All-American team, which means that, you know, a lot of people think he's the second-best quarterback in the nation behind Matt Barkley of USC. I don't buy into that hype. But, I mean, so there's, you know, they have reason to be optimistic because a lot of people who are outside that program are saying that they are legitimately good. So we shall see game one, Tarvin. We shall see.
Trey, I actually think Marquise Gray is better than Denard, in my opinion. Because at least he can throw the football. I mean, I think
a lot of quarterbacks are better, but, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't see it. I don't buy into it.
Well, guys, I look at this matchup, and I see Denard Robinson, and every time I've seen him play any kind of defensive team, he struggles, and like, he takes some shots. So I don't know how he's going to be able – even Alabama's defense is young. I still think they're very talented, and I still think it's going to be the best defense he sees all year. I just don't see him getting on that stage in Dallas and being able to score on that defense. LSU couldn't even cross midfield with that defense, and you give Saban a year to kind of look over tape, and you know that's what he's doing. He's looking at Michigan, and he's studying every tendency for Denard Robinson. So, guys, I don't see how he has a chance.
It's not good. Sorry, let me tell you what's going on, because you know my favorite verbal sparring, the only person I talk smack with, Brett in a group.
Yeah.
And on the thread this morning, he was talking about him or Jamison or one of them had talked about Bama's defense being young and all of this. And I was like, get the blank out of here with that mess. Because, number one, if you really looked at it, if you knew Bama, it's not like we've got eight freshmen coming in and that are going to be eight freshmen at quarterback. Even the returning starters and their backups got plenty of playing time last year. So I think that people are not – hey, I'm a Bama fan, I'm just saying. People are not realizing that it's not going to be a bunch of new guys coming in having to learn something new. It's not that at all. And I totally, you know, hey, Michigan, got much respect for you. Love y'all optimistic asses, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either. And, guys, I want to thank y'all for joining us. We're about to head out of here. We're running out of time, and I'm running out of – I need some sleep tonight. I've had trouble sleeping the last couple of nights. I'm ready for a good night's sleep.
There you go. I'm right there with you, T. I know Jason's been working hard. So we're gonna, we wanted to make sure we made it in tonight because we were going to call in an early night, but we're like, nah, we made a commitment. We're going to make sure that we call in.
Yes, I appreciate y'all supporting the show and calling in. We're going to take one more caller, and we're going to head out. But thanks for listening, guys.
All right, guys. Hey, have a good night. And, Trey, congrats on that baby again. Keep posting more pics.
Yep, congrats.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Hey, Tarvin, I do want to mention one thing, Tarvin, before we move on. That's a comment. The chat room has been just blowing up. So Chris Smalley made a really good point, and I wanted to make sure I got it on the air.
It is.
If it was me. And I knew I had no shot at the NFL. I would stay at Penn State and finish my degree, plus my chances of getting more playing time increase. Now, if I had a shot at the NFL, then I'd consider transferring. So that's a good point from Chris Smalley about what some of these guys might be thinking.
If you tell Chris Smalley, I said War Eagle. Chris is a great guy. He's a big Bama fan, but he's one of those guys that loves to talk trash, and he can take it. He's not one of these guys that gets angry when you pick at his team. So, Chris, thanks for listening. And Chris is going to call in soon. And I think we have Quinn on the phone right here. And Chris Smalley and Quinn, they go at it sometimes a lot. So I'm going to bring Quinn on the line. What's going on, Quinn?
Oh, I just wanted to bring up the Dyer situation, and since I'm a teenager, I can kind of relate to this younger guys, especially a couple years ago when I went through a rough time and I was making dumb decisions. I think grown-ups nowadays don't realize what teens and younger guys in their 20s go through nowadays. It's a lot different than back then. There's a lot more broken homes. There's a lot more single moms out there. I went to, before my parents made me switch schools a few years back, I went to school where most of these kids were trying to provide for family members that have five or six family members younger than them, and they have a single mom that's working her butt off three or four jobs to get them, and there's nobody home, and the only way they think they can provide is get into gangs and steal stuff, and they get promises about money. And I mean, if they go and if they are a really good sports star and they get into that, but they still feel once they get into college they need to provide for people, that's the only way they know how to live.
Quinn, that's a very good point, man. And, you know, I'm 35 now, and you know, there wasn't a lot of pressure. And I think you're right. I think it's changed a lot, probably. And because back then, I think the difference, too, is social media. I think now in these phones everybody has, you can make a mistake. When I was 18 and nobody would really know. But now you make a mistake, somebody has it on YouTube or they're tweeting it or they're putting it on Facebook. So, Trey, what do you think about Quinn's statement?
Well, I mean, it's kind of what we're talking about. I mean, I think a lot of times, some of the time, we forget how stupid we were in our youth. I mean, in college, like I said, there's times that I'm pretty glad that folks didn't have easy access to camera phones and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I mean, there is part of that. I mean, you know, nowadays, it seems like anytime something goes on, rather than, you know, reacting to the situation, people grab their phones, you know. There's a video out there on YouTube of a girl's house burning down, and she's filming it on her phone versus calling the fire department, which is just shows some of the stupidity. But the point of it is like that seems to be the natural reaction for folks, is they want to, you know, the first thing that comes down is your camera versus your head. So, you know, that's a decent point for what's been going on in our social media world and, you know, access to easy cameras and easy, you know, that kind of stuff.
And I just don't get how people are so quick to judge when they don't even, when people on these internet sites don't even really know the person, first of all. They're judging them, and they act like they haven't had any chances in life. Like, everybody messes up. Yep. I mean, sometimes it takes people to mess up 1,000 times before they learn, but you don't know what they're going through their life, so you shouldn't be judging them.
Yeah, Quinn, you're exactly right, and that's why I try not to judge, you know, people. I try to support these guys because I know everybody. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes a lot. And, you know, there's, you know, the difference between the homeless guy out there and the CEO is sometimes just one small thing that happens, or one big or whatever, you know. It's just anything can happen. So all you can do is really live your own life and really try to help people out there. But I think a lot of it is to do with some of these teams, they don't really want to make fun of the guy. They don't know the guy, but they want to make fun of the fan base, or they want to pick at the team that it happened. Like Trey said before, everybody talks about Florida State like it's negative, but they just ride them because they hate Florida State. So you're right. I think it's a different day and age now. I think kids are held to a lot higher of a standard, and they're treated like, Trey, what do you think about they're treated like kings now, some of these football players? So, I mean, they're in the spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we keep seeing it over and over again that, you know, Dyer, Greg Reed, I mean, you just saw it today with Zeke Pike as well, the, you know, high-touted Auburn guy as well that, you know, who's getting dismissed from Auburn's team, it looks like, and he's going to transfer probably to Valdosta State with probably Greg Reed, and who knows. But, I mean, you just see it time and time again, and you know, like I said, you know, it's so much easier to make a mistake in the world to know about it now, and you know, people just need to consider, you know, that kind of thing when you're looking back as a fan, you know, because you might want to rag on Alabama for something like that happening, but then the next week it's Auburn, you want to forget about it. Right. So you know, as fans of football, we need to grow up a little bit and just have a little bit of understanding that, you know, hey, happens in every program, and you know, it's up to us as individuals not to blow these kids out of proportion and make them kings on, you know, replying to them on Twitter and, you know, I'm your greatest fan, you're such a, you know, you're awesome, you know, hey, you're a good college football player, you know, keep your head on right, okay?
But a lot of these guys, even before they get people telling them that, they're already cocky in their head. They're already like that. I don't think the medium's making it like that, because I know plenty of people that are humble as can be, and people tell them they're good all the time, and so.
Well, that's the problem I had all my life. I got told how great I was, and you know, it's just Trey, you're supposed to cut me off when I said that, man.
Yeah, no, I was reading the message board, so I know we're getting run out of time. I was just, there's some pretty funny comments on here. I'm not gonna put them in the air, but.
So what is Smelly saying right now?
I think he wants to. Does he want to come on? Is that what, I heard you say he might come on.
Or he's going to come on and be a guest on our show.
Okay.
He's just trying to get wrapped up with some things. He's been busy.
Oh man, I want Smelly to get on a guest on this show. I want to go at him.
Quinn, you already lost one time on the show to me. I'm not sure you can handle losing again. I mean, let's not hurt your ego too much.
Oh, Quinn, that's a personal attack.
I didn't lose to you, and I definitely wouldn't lose to Bammer.
Well, Smelly, if you're listening out there, maybe we can have a good debate one night with you and Quinn. I'm interested. I'm interested now, Trey.
There you go.
Well, Quinn, man, thanks for coming on and being a supporter of the show. We really appreciate you, man. We really do.
You're welcome. Keep it up.
All right. Take care, man. Well, Trey, any final thoughts before we go, bud?
No. Good show tonight, Tarvin. Another good job. I want to thank everybody who's listening on the chat room. I mean, I had 11 people at one time, and they were going back and forth with each other so much that I was having a tough time actually keeping up with them. So good job on all those guys and weighing in on their own and getting a discussion online with others and getting me thinking about things as we were in the middle of the show, as they were saying. So just thanks to everyone who listened tonight and participated in the chat room.
Hey, did Jason Humphreys join us tonight on the chat room? I haven't heard his name.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay, good. Well, again, I wrote two articles, as Sonia said earlier. One's about the SEC, why I think it's the best, and it's not just wins. It's other things involved, and I wrote an article about could Auburn shock the world in 2012. Just BCS.net, that's an online magazine. In 2013, they'll be doing physical magazines. But go on there and read it, and also go to our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/weighinsports. Like our page. I think we have like 120 or so likes right now. So it's growing. Go to blogtalkradio.com and search for Tarvino or Weigh In Sports, whichever one, and follow us there. That'll help you get updates and emails. And Trey, the July is over with, but man, we set some big records on our show in July, and it's all because of these listeners out here and supporting our show and spreading the word. So I'm just excited about where this could go and getting ready for some football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be exciting, and, you know, really thank everybody. And, you know, like I said, I know we say it a lot, Carvin, but every week, you know, I get almost all of my ideas from you guys who are listening. So thanks for making me smart.
Yeah, you learn a lot. And if you're out there and you want a group to join and you're on Facebook and you want to hear some people talk sports and you get updates a lot, go to Facebook and look for a group, NCAA Sports Fanatic, and also Pigskin Pride. That's a real good group, and I'm a member of both. And it's just fun to see what people are talking about, Trey, because that's really what we want our show to be, what's current, what's hot, and what the listeners want to talk about. So, again, if you ever want to talk about something, maybe you don't want to call in, send us a message, what you want us to talk about or what you would like to talk about, we'll get you on the show. So, again, thanks to all the listeners. And Sunday night, Trey, we're going at 9 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be fired up to go. We hope for another big show. So, Trey, I need one team for you that we're going to break down Sunday night.
You know, Carmen, one of the teams that I think we should definitely hit is the Miami Hurricanes with all of their off-the-field struggles this year. Let's talk a little bit about what we think their schedule is going to be. And one of the other things that you and I have talked about and we're going to be doing it is having a fantasy football show. So another thing for everyone to think about with fantasy football being so huge, and you and I both have been in a league for almost a decade together, actually over a decade together, Tarvin. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. I know.
So,
applause.
We'll break down some of the sleepers and that kind of stuff that we see in fantasy football. We'll do a little bit of that in one of the shows coming up as well.
Yeah, and there's so much strategy that goes into fantasy football. People just think, hey, I'm just going to pick this player and go. I mean, there's so many different variables. Do you remember last year, Trey, when I picked Cam Newton, everybody laughed at me?
Yeah, you laughed all the way to the bank, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you remember that year I drafted Jeff George? See, I mean, it's just
yeah, everyone should know it was 2 years after Jeff George retired, so it was a little bit of a surprise.
No, man, it wasn't that. Everybody questioned me, but I guess they were right. I was wrong, but, you know, it's just so fun to be able to pick and draft and to hear other people's opinions about who's going to, you know, these sleepers. That's my favorite part of fantasy, Trey, is the draft and being able to hear people's sleepers. Maybe getting that one pick maybe in the sixth, seventh round that can just make or break your draft. So, yeah, we're going to do
absolutely.
It probably have to be a couple of shows, honestly, to be able to break, you know, do 1 hour on two different shows. So that's a good idea, and we'll do that. So Miami Hurricanes and also Central Florida is on probation now with George O'Leary. But there's one team that I'd like to talk about, and I don't think we've talked about them yet. It's who was it? I'm sorry. I'll think about that team. It was a team I had three written down. So we'll talk about Miami, and I'll come up with the other team, and I'll put it on the agenda by Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right, Trey, and all the listeners out there, thank you very much for listening. If you missed the live show, hit the archive and spread the word, spread the show, send the link, copy it, and send it to your friends that like sports and have them join in the fun. But till Sunday night, guys, have a great week.
All right, Carvin, have a great week.
You too, bye.